October 1987, mm-hmm. I had the first opportunity to race a car. I'd never raced anything other than go-karts. And it was a stock car race. It was a, it wasn't a pro race, but it was a very popular race because the promotioner, the folks that put the race on, they basically set it up where it was a $1,000 entry fee. They had the Alabama Gang, Red Farmer. It was a very popular race. It was mm-hmm. in Orlando mm-hmm. With a $1,000 entry fee. And by the way, winner take all, they had 70 cars entered. So $70,000 was going to go to the winner.
Mm.
And I was asked by a friend of my dad. My dad said, hey, my kid's he's a go-kart racer. You should put him in. And so they built this car, and the thing was a rocket. It was a front-wheel drive LeBaron turbocharged.
Now, who built this?
Lightweight. Milo Coleman.
Why did he do it?
He was a drag racer. He was an NHRA champion in the 60s, and he just
Why did they trust your father and hire you?
Well, they were friends. Oh. Milo and my dad were friends.
So you raced to what happens?
Actually, Milo used to buy pickup beds from my dad because in my dad's business, he wouldn't need the pickup beds because he would put the units on the back of the trucks. And so he would sell Milo these pickup beds. So that's how they became friends.
Huh.
So, but this race, it was fascinating because what they did was they had I'll never forget it. They had a big top, black top hat. And the way that they didn't qualify, there were too many cars and it was too time consuming. So what they did was they took numbers from 1 to 70, the number of entries that were in the race. It was 72 or 70, 74. I don't remember the exact number. But you would walk up to the top hat and you would pull out of the top hat a number. And whatever your number was, that's where you started. And my mom, now this was one thing, this was definitely God speaking through my mom because she'd said a lot of things to me before and I kind of dismissed it or I was like, this is crazy. How can you believe in something that you can't even see? And this is it's a fairy tale. It's a crutch. I mean, I had all the excuses, right? Because I didn't want to change my life. I didn't want to change from what I was doing. I liked what I was doing. And a lot of what I heard from her was that, you know, you're going to have to change your life. You don't hear that much about, hey, Jesus wants to fall in love with you. And once you realize how much he loves you and you fall in love with him, all this other stuff that's nonsense in your mm-hmm. life or that's really there because of the enemy that's at work in your life mm-hmm. will be gone. I didn't hear that message.
No.
I just heard I got to change my life. And I'm like, I can't do that. I like my life too much. I like this. I like all of it. The sin, I like all of it, everything I'm doing. So anyway, a long story short, my mom looks at me as I'm going to draw my starting position out of this hat. Now, keep in mind, I wanted to race my whole life. I'd never raced in a car race.
Hmm.
I'm in this battle, really, as I look back, for my soul, because I'm, you know, I'm a lost human being. And my mom looks at me and she said, God is going to reveal himself to you tonight, Terry. And I was like, oh man, does that mean I'm going to win the race? You know, it's like, all right, I like this. And as I started to walk to the top hat, she stepped in front of me and looked me right in the eye. And this is where I knew it was God speaking through her. You know, a lot of people these days think you're crazy if they say God spoke to me. But yeah. God does speak.
Yep.
It's not hard to believe.
No, I've had him speak to me. So.
He speaks to us all the time.
First time he spoke to me, I said, please don't do that. I think I'm getting psychotic, enough. That's a whole story, but I'll tell it to you sometime.
Yeah, and I've never heard an audible voice. I'm not talking about
that. But your mom
that.
Steps in.
She steps in, she looks me right in the eye, and she says, God is going to reveal himself to you one last time. And I was in a rough spot in my life. I was doing a lot of partying. I was doing a lot of...
The intuition of a mom.
And so from the echo of her making that statement, yeah. I walk to the top hat.
And?
I put my hand in the hat and I pull out number one.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, I still to this day, I mean, how many years later this is, and I get chills.
The prayers of a mother.
And God at that in that moment, he spoke to me, not through my mom, but he spoke to me internally. And he said, I'm trying to reveal myself to you. And that moment, we ended up, people... And when I tell this story, they're like, how'd the race go?
Yeah, the race go.
We led the entire 500 laps until about the last 15 laps. there was a red flag. Long story short, they shut the race. My car wouldn't restart. We ended up not finishing. And again, you know, when my mom said, God's going to reveal him, I'm thinking God's a Santa Claus, right? So I'm going to. Which is how, unfortunately, a lot of Christians still today view God as that he's Santa Claus. Yeah. He's going to fix all of our problems and bring us all these presents. But in that moment, I thought that I was going to win the race. Well, I didn't win the race. And had I won the race, I literally am convinced that I would probably be dead today.
From what, wine, women, and sorrow?
$70,000 in my pocket as somebody that's
21
years old, and all I wanted to do was party.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no doubt in my mind I would not be the person that I am today. So from that experience, I don't win the race. The month continues. God is on me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know the presence of God. I didn't know the Spirit of God. I'm thinking it's all, you know, it's kind of all out there. I'm not thinking this is something that can be personal, but God would not let me go. And he is gentle, and he's not rude. He doesn't force himself, but everywhere I turned, and keep in mind, I'm alone. I'm in college by myself. None of my friends were there from my high school where I grew up, which I had a lot of really good friends. The only reason I was in Daytona by myself was because I met this girl, and I'm living with her, and I'm like, oh, this is great. So, but again, it was the strategy of God, right? Okay. The strategy of God to get me to a place where I was alone, and I didn't have any of my other crutches. And all of a sudden, now I'm realizing I'm missing something big. And it was in that moment that I accepted Christ. So, you know.
And what happened?
I said, God, if you're real, I need you. And from that moment, my life began to change.
Did you feel anything internally?
I felt something. And I know it's different for everybody. As people say, well, even the date, you know, to have a date.
Yeah.
People say, well, I don't have, like my wife. I mean, she's pretty much been a follower of Jesus as far back as she can remember as a child. I wasn't that way. And it was a very dramatic change for me.
I wish I had my date. I know it was in the spring of 1983.
Well, it was.
And I was in my living room, and I was filled with the holiness of God. But I don't remember the date. But anyway.
Well, it was a date that I'll never forget.
But like you said, now some people like me might be more dramatic. Others, but there's some sort of a knowledge that you know something has altered in the universe. You know, there's a change. Because Jesus said, make sure you're born once. You need to be born once of your mother, but you need to be once. Make sure, he said, that you're born once of the Spirit, which is pretty scary. In other words, that's why people, you know, people say, oh, come on, you're Jesus. If I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to go to hell. Well, maybe hell is just living eternally without God. I don't know what it is. But he said, make sure ye are born from above.
Well, and for me, it was I didn't know all the answers because, again, I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know all
of
the religious.
But you knew something had changed.
Something had changed, and what happened to me on that day was an exchange. Because we have it so good here. It is such an incredible country, and I've been around the world with racing and with ministry, with coaching. I also coach drivers I'm a driver coach. I've been all over the world, and I've seen a lot of other countries. We have an incredible country here in America, and the problem is that there is, for many people in our country, there's not a huge amount of need. And so, therefore, there's really no reliance on God.
It's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, because they don't feel they're not poor in spirit. They don't feel they need God.
Well, but the spiritual side of that, and this is where I was at. There is no doubt in my mind. It was very easy for me to understand that I was in union with the enemy of my soul. I wasn't just not a Christian. I was in union with the enemy of my soul. As human beings, we were created by God to be in union with a spiritual being.
So what were you given over to at this point?
Oh, gosh, everything. I was a slave. To
women, booze, alcohol, whatever?
Everything. I was all in. I mean, I'm a racer, right? It's like it, on the gas. I mean, that was my life.
And you're still a good-looking guy. So you're older guy, you got some gray in your hair, but I mean, so you must have been a really movie star, good looks when you were younger, right? And so women, you here, you are a race car driver, you're gutsy, the blah, 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 blah. I can see where you probably could get really swallowed up in all that.
Well, it was on that day, it was a spiritual exchange, and I believe it's what the Bible calls being born again.
Yeah.
And there is a union that happens when you come to Christ, not when you mouth a prayer, not when you raise a hand necessarily and just say these words. I really hate that.
Oh, I hate that when they say, oh, we believe you just got born again. I don't believe that. I was yelling at my ceiling for a half an hour saying, okay, I believe you. I'll take a chance. I thought it was foolishness. I was into Eastern religions. Okay, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Nothing happens. Okay, and then I'm wrestling with myself. And I said, okay, I'm a fool to not live with God in my life. And then I said, I believe you died for my sins, rose from the dead, and I surrender my life to you. Boom.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Daughters, bought with blood and washed in water.